Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for free. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Hey, what's going on, Nation? Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. Today, we got the return of the Fat and the Furious with myself, Bully Ray, and my tag team partner, the innovator of violence, most hardcore man I know, and the guy that can kill the buffet, Tommy Dreamer. So much to get into with Tommy today. Want to get his take on Slammiversary, everybody that returned, all the surprises, what he thought the match of the night was, including his match against Moose. Want to talk about Impact Wrestling on Access TV and what we can expect moving forward. And speaking of Impact, we have the returning Eric Young. Yes, EY joins me and Tommy talking about his stint in WWE and talking about his future with Impact Wrestling. We also got the Machine Brian Cage joining us on Busted Open ahead of his big announcement tonight on AEW Dynamite with Taz. What is going to happen with the Machine and Taz? Nobody knows. We're getting into Randy Orton in the Big Show. We're getting into everything and anything, plus you, the Nation, the Fat and the Furious, the Busted Open Podcast. Turn it up right now. There's so much news coming out of Impact since last Saturday and last night. It's kind of like, I don't know where to start with you, but let's just take, I guess, what the biggest news is coming out of last night with Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, the Motor City Machine Guns, now once again the Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, they had a great surprise debut right off the bat at Slammiversary when they wrestled the Rascals, which for some, you know, when we get to, when you talk about creative, man, that was a bit of a dream match for a lot of people. And to not be able to promote that for buy rates is one thing, but to, because no one saw the Machine Guns coming back as at all. And that was the beauty of what Slammiversary was promoting. And it was very, very cool. And I take with a lot of pride to that it was trending worldwide. And I talk about this all the time during the world that we live in with COVID and politics, the fact that professional wrestling was trending at all, but then that Slammiversary trended worldwide for the entire time that it was on, you know, being broadcast is really, really cool. And a lot of that was who was going to show up. And then they also delivered with their mat, with their in-ring. And then the next day they literally challenged the North at Slammiversary. And then Tuesday they had the match, and the North, who were the longest reigning tag team champions in Impact history, I believe. And then they were upended by the Guns, and that's continuing the long buzz for Impact, because now the Machine Guns, you could have a lot of fantasy type of matchups and or interesting matchups that have never happened before. And stuff like that is really, really cool to keep things new and fresh. And there was a lot of eyes on the product last night where Impact on Access was trending number two. We had a stupid presidential. He had to say something or else we would have been number one, USA Impact. Ach, poo.
Number one, jabroni. you know, you get the Motor City Machine Guns returning to Impact Wrestling. You get the Good Brothers debuting in Impact Wrestling. I mean, if I had the pencil in my hand, I know what I'm doing with those two teams in the long run. Is the Machine Guns versus the Good Brothers something that you would personally like to see happen? And do you think in the long run we could see those two teams fighting in the ring?
Absolutely. That's something I totally want to see. I think that's a match. You know, it also has international intrigue because, I mean, Alex Shelley wrestles in New Japan as well when the club was going. So there's a lot of interesting stuff that could go on. And yeah, man, I do think that's something that's definitely going to be on the table somewhere. I know Gallows and Anderson, they got a lot going on. They have, you know, their own little pay-per-view. I believe it's in August. But, you know, the overall vibe was, it was really, really cool. Because, I mean, you did, Bub, you got it. I get it. When you're out there in the world, you know, and now it's a little different because, you know, social media, when you lose your job, everyone's sitting there waiting to see what happens. But you also, it lights a fire under a lot of talent's asses. And they want to prove why they were wrong to be let go, in the sense of, you know, a lot of the talent, man, you know, we're talking about Eric Young. He was in WWE for what, 3 years? And, you know, really after NXT didn't do a whole lot and was literally paid to sit home. And creatively, you want to contribute and you want to show the world what you have to offer. And a lot of the talents that we had, you know, were given that opportunity and will continue to be given that opportunity and a platform for their, you know, help with their own creative. Man, I always tell all the talents, like, I don't tell you have to do move A, B, C, or even with creative, help me make you better, because then it's going to make the show better. And if it's the overall show and overall product, which is the end result, that's what we came from. We were able to talk to our crazy boss, and we always did it not for, well, I want to push Dreamer, I want to push Bubba. We did it because we wanted, you know, that company called ECW to strive and how it would be better.
You talked about how a lot of talents that were let go from the WWE felt wronged, or how they can feel wronged. And you said it lights a fire under talent's ass. You guys had a lot of people either come back to Impact or debut in Impact at Slammiversary or last night on the show on Access. You've obviously been around guys like the Good Brothers now, guys like EC3 now. Well, I don't even know if you saw EC3 before he decided to pop up, but EC3, Eric Young, a Heath Slater. Just talking to these guys in the locker room or at catering or wherever the hell you might be, which one of them would you say has the most to prove and has the biggest fire lit under their ass right now?
Man, all of them. There's such hunger. You know, Gallows and Anderson, and to be honest, you know, financially they're doing pretty good in life, and they wanted to come in because of that. They have, yeah, you know, they're making money and Impact, but they want to show they have more. And if you remember, they were in a frigging top act with AJ Styles. Hell, WrestleMania, you know, working with The Undertaker. There's a lot of where they could have gone. And, you know, I guess the obvious choice would have been New Japan. But, you know, I know Scott D'Amore, and for me too, man. I mean, Gallows, I hired Gallows twice into WWE. He's been my guy ever since he was a teenager. They're super duper fired up. Heath had an opportunity to go back to WWE, and he just kind of wanted to go out on his own. Eric is fired up, and Eric has already stepped up. And I mean, he came back in that Slammiversary match. I asked him, that was the first time he took a bump in almost half a year, 6 months. And he's in the main event of a match with guys who were doing it a lot. Hey, another person, legit, Rich Swann, man. Rich Swann came back after career-ending surgery and was thrust into that match as well. So, I mean, it was just And you know, because we've experienced this, it was the hits keep on coming. And that's why I told you, like, when I went off, when I did my last show last week, when you like, is this going to be worth it with Impact Wrestling? And I was like, absolutely. Because just when people thought they knew where we were going and like, oh, we gave them so many surprises, here came another surprise. And even after Gallows and Anderson hit and we raised, you know, beers with Eddie Edwards, who's our new champion, then there's an EC3 vignette to make you want to tune in like, holy crap, we gave you another surprise. But that surprise was to carry over to Tuesday. So there's your hook.
Out of all the guys we just talked about, I see a certain fire in EC3's eyes that has me intrigued. And I think the one guy who probably has the most to prove is him. I spoke about this with Dave a little bit, even Mark. I don't think anybody that we've talked about has been toyed with the way EC3 got toyed with in the WWE in the past 10 years, whether it's being down in developmental and then being let go and then, you know, having a good run in Impact, getting the call back up to WWE, having a little bit of a taste of success in NXT, but then just being, I mean, demoralized up on the main roster and then having to try to come back from that. I like his new look. I like that look in his eye. I like the direction he's going in. Last night, sneaking up behind Moose and dropping him. Yeah, a little pro wrestling generic. Would have liked to seen a little bit outside of the box thinking, but that's totally fine. I have high hopes for EC3. What do you think about his chances to get back to the top of the mountain in Impact Wrestling?
You and I have worked so closely with him. And when he was emerging in Impact Wrestling before, you know, I mean, you made him pay his dues. You chopped the living crap out of his chest. You taught him how to be a better worker. I was with him. That's what the job as the veteran to do, to help him get over and give him that confidence, because that's what we were taught and that's what we were blessed to get. And he was on the right path. Would have been great for him to have stayed in Impact. You know, Bubba, it's great for when talent leave. And with, you know, at one point WWE literally tried taking over the world. And then when AEW was coming up, everybody of any substance was getting signed just so they couldn't go other places. And, you know, hey, some talents made some money, but also some talents want to be used. And, you know, there was people literally being paid to ride the pine. And this isn't like baseball where they could pay you and release you and let you go work somewhere else, which is another insane thing that happens in sports. But with EC3, yeah, man, he's his social media, his look, he does this, he has this fire in his eyes, and he's very, very, a lot of all that stuff that he's doing and social media and his creative is from him and from what he has gone out there and put out there on social media, as well as, again, given creative freedom in Impact Wrestling. Tell us how you can be you and let us critique it a little bit, and you're off, man. And I do expect big things from him.
The number one match that stood out for me in Slammiversary, obviously you did a great job with Moose. The main event did a good job, but we had Deonna on the other day, and I think Deonna and Jordan had the match of the night. I thought they stole the show, and one of the things that they did that I love so much is they told me how great of a match that they were going to have from the minute they locked up. I think the most credible lockup I saw that night, and maybe in a while, is the way Jordan and Deonna locked up. Can you talk about the match, the frame of mind the two women were in, and do you think they delivered?
Absolutely. I think also with the women, they had a great wrestling match and they had a great wrestling feud. And that's different, you know, but Dreamer and Raven will never go down as a great wrestling feud in the sense of a pure wrestling match. But those two women tore it up, and it was snug, man. I mean, I watched that match. Jordan had a busted lip. The next day they had bruises on their body, but they did it for, that was their storytelling. And you know, it was a throwback to, for me too. And in, Don Callis always shows us lockups, and it's Nick Bockwinkel and Billy Robinson locking up, and they're close to their 50s. And it looked like a real fight, and it looked like a struggle, probably because it is. You know, me and EY still lock up in the back all the time. He goes to attack me. He spins me around, and we lock up. And we lock up super-duper tight. But that's just how we do it. And those two women told a great story. Even that submission, dude, I told the girls, I told Deanna, if she ever put that or attempted to put that on me, I would punch her right in her face because both my shoulders would fall out. It looked like she ripped her shoulders out. And when she locked that in, you have nothing but to tap because there's no place for you to go. And that was another match. And you say, and I say it, someone went over and someone got over. And there's a new champion. And since she's burst on the scene here in Impact Wrestling, another talent that wasn't really used. And everyone was like, oh my God, she's such a great wrestler. She's such a great wrestler. And now she's being shown as what she is, a great wrestler.
This is Aussie Football Rules America with Eddie Maguire.
One of Australia's greatest international stars, Hugh Jackman.
Someone invited me when I was first in Melbourne to go and play a game. About 5 minutes into the game, someone took me out from behind with a shoulder charge. And my first instinct was to get up and deck the guy. And my own teammates had to hold me back and say, no, that's allowed.
Catch new episodes Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern on Dan Patrick Radio Channel 211 and listen at home with Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or however you stream in the house.
We were talking about Impact Wrestling, the debuts, the surprises that we got from Slammiversary, the follow-up last night on Access Television. And then this past Monday night, we got a returning to the ring Big Show, Tommy. And there's been a lot of talk amongst Busted Open fan base in the nation about the Big Show and his match with Randy Orton. Listen, Andre the Giant, Big John Studd, all of the greatest big men in the history of the business. First off, Tommy, where do you think Big Show ranks amongst the greatest big men of all time? And I'm talking big men. I'm talking the super big men like the Andres or the Studs. Where do you think he ranks amongst them? And how do you think Show has been utilized since his return to the WWE? And do you think Randy Orton punting Show in the head is the end of Show?
To answer your question, I think he would be one behind Andre as one of the best big men of all time. You know, you've worked him, I've worked him. I love the Big Show. I love his in-ring. Here's a guy who, I mean, hell, I wrestled him. And if you want to talk about how sometimes low he was in the company, I've beaten the Big Show. So
that's low.
That's very low. he's a guy who, I mean, literally can, if he lands on you wrong, could kill you and doesn't get enough credit for what a good wrestler that he is. He's gotten himself in very, very good shape. He's disappeared. I mean, he's had different type of surgeries through the years. Being used is the greatest word there. I mean, everyone, it's like, it's the new Terry Funk retirements. How many times are we going to turn Big Show? And sadly, that's not on him. That's on creative. But if you think about it, Big Show does a great job of anything given to him. So when people talk about that, Terry Funk does his retirements, that was Terry Funk. But when Big Show turns, that's not Big Show waking up and saying, I want to be a bad guy. That's someone telling him he has to be the bad guy. And then, oh, you're going to be the good guy. So that little asterisk on his career shouldn't be there because it's on him, it's not on him. I think they are doing a good job with Big Show. Because, I mean, we all know how much, you know, at times that Ric Flair loves Big Show and Ric Flair has put him over as being better than Andre the Giant. He's like, I've worked on both, brother. But is this going to be the last? I hope not, because I still think Big Show has a lot to offer the wrestling industry, as well as if they go do the Andre the Giant route, make him special, maybe make him come back if they ever do the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, make him mean more every time he does come back. And they have done a decent job of that since his return.
You know, you talked about creative and it's creative's decision whether or not that Show is a heel or a babyface and how many times he's turned. How do you think that they've utilized the Big Show on this these past couple of weeks with Randy. I mean, did you ever think that Big Show, despite the fact that he's 7 foot five, 972 pounds, monster giant, and can go in the ring, despite the fact that he has all this athletic ability and probably the most athletic giant ever, did you ever think that he was going to beat Randy Orton? Did they ever position Show in a way where you said to yourself, wow, I think he might get the best of Randy?
No, not at all. But that's also because of what has been done with him in the past. Like I said, with all the retirements and all that stuff. If, you know, the knockout punch, dude, that was getting over. It was getting over big time. It would be like, hey, here comes Tommy Dreamer for redemption against his friend Edge, and even or his friend against Christian. Would people pop for Tommy Dreamer return to WWE? Yeah, probably. And then it was like Randy Orton at Extreme Rules. I'm going to take you to the extreme, you RKO Viper. And yeah, that match may have some intrigue and they know, oh, wow, Dreamer's going to wrestle Randy Orton. It's going to be a really good match. I'm going to do all the same stuff I did with Moose. And then guess what? No one will ever say Tommy Dreamer had enough credibility to beat Randy Orton because of Tommy Dreamer's past in WWE. And that has a big, big, you know, build to what you're doing. Because guess what? Wrestling fans, we don't forget. We never forget. We remember that today is Bob Roop's birthday. And remember of all these turns of the Big Show and why he doesn't have that. If maybe he laid him out with a punch and Flair got a major juice job, or maybe there was a shocking where Randy goes for the RKO and Big Show punches him out of the air and beats him. And you know it. A loss would not hurt Randy Orton. But then if you put some other stipulations or, hey, I beat you once, I'll do it again. You don't think I got it? I'll put my career on the line. Something like that.
Do you think that's the last match for the Big Show?
I don't think in wrestling we ever have a last match unless it's something with his health. I remember for a while he was looking at leaving because I think he needed hip surgery. Or I believe it was hip surgery. There was something going on with him physically. But, I mean, he came back in great shape. You know, he's posting pictures of himself, working out, all that stuff. And I hope not, because I always like, I mean, he's a definite Hall of Famer, but I always like guys to go out really on their own terms. And especially in this COVID world, I would love to, dude, and even like with Slammiversary, and I hate the fact that fans aren't there for the wrestlers, and because we feed off of that. As well as I hate the fact that the fans can't be there to celebrate it with us. And if you're going to have a last match, Big Show deserves to be crying, because you know he would be at a WrestleMania, and just like kind of like Andre, you know, like waving to the crowd saying goodbye, because you deserve that if you're going to call it a career. No one should retire during the COVID era.
The top teams in the NBA are in Orlando to finish the NBA season. Who will push for the final playoff spot?
Look out below, baby! Look out below!
Which star will secure their legacy with a title?
That's good! Knockout punch by LeBron James!
Your 24-7 home for the return of hoops is NBA Radio, Sirius 207 XM86, and at home with Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or however you stream in the house.
Eric Young. Eric, buddy, great to talk to you. Great to see you here on Zoom. How are you?
It's been good, man. I'm very, very good. Good to be on with you guys. Emerging from my my cave. Plenty to say. Happy to say that it feels like Slammiversary was a massive success, and it's really cool to be part of that. And more importantly, really cool to be home.
Well, I got to tell you, I want to thank you, first of all, because I know this is the first time that you've spoken since you left the WWE and since you returned to Impact. Busted Open gets to talk to you first. I know I feel that there's a lot of stuff that you want to talk about, things you might want to get off your chest and things that you want to talk about going into your future. I'll start off with the real easy one. Like, how does it feel to be back in a company that you were a part of for so long? How does it feel to be back in Impact Wrestling?
Yeah, it feels really good, man. And it's, you know, it's much different. It's Impact Wrestling now, not TNA Wrestling. So that's, they fully transitioned there. And there are several people that are still there that were there when I was originally there. but you know, the roster is almost completely turned over. You know, management is completely different. We're on Access TV now. Anthem is owner and partner with Impact. They're doing amazing things. So it's cool to be part of a group that feels like it's a team rather than a bunch of individuals again. I've always got that vibe from there, and especially now. And I was saying to Scott this weekend, just saying like people that have been there for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years to be super proud of what they've done. They took the company that was basically from obscurity, you know, that had no TV, was on life support, and brought it back and really delivered this Saturday. Super proud to be part of that. But most of all, I want to point the attention to the people that were there before Saturday, because that's when the real hard work was done. You know, like we had to deliver this Saturday and we did, but to get to that point, to be in this position, you know, in a bunch of different aspects, to be in that position to deliver is years of hard work. And they should all be commended for that.
Eric, you just talked about Impact and how it felt to be there. Me, Tommy, and yourself spent a long time in TNA, and then we all went our separate ways. You went to the WWE. Why did you decide to go to the WWE? How did you feel things went in NXT for you, and why did they seem to go so wrong once you got called up to the main roster?
Yeah, I mean, the time for me going there was, it was kind of time to move on from the structure of the current company. I felt like I had kind of done, you know, everything that I was going to be allowed to do there. Obviously, the WWE is a place that I've wanted to work my whole career. That's what I grew up watching. You know, that was the goal. You know, when I started wrestling, my first goal was to sign a contract and say that I do this for a living. And signing my first contract with TNA Wrestling, and I guess that would have been around 2004. That was the first time I signed a contract there full time, and I could officially say I'm a pro wrestler. Because before that, I would never tell anyone that. Like I say, yeah, I do it on the weekends because that's what I did. I had a real job, and I played wrestler on the weekend. But in 2004, I signed my first contract, and then I could finally say this is what I do for a living. That was my first and only goal. And my other goal was to make it to the WWE. So that was a huge reason for me wanting to go there. The NXT part, went great, was treated well. Hunter and me worked very closely on the development of Sanity in the group. And I really felt like I had a say in what went on, and, obviously not final say, but was listened to and asked to contribute. I think the NXT run, at the time, Sanity was one of the top acts in the whole company. We were on every show. We won Tag Team of the Year. War Games was Match of the Year. I could be put anywhere on the card and utilized in a very good way. Then we transitioned to the main roster. And I mean, you and everyone knows how that went. That did not go well. And people know it's sometimes you fall out of favor and it's nothing that you did or didn't do. I never changed who I was. I'm not going to. That's not who I am. I'm not a political person. Never have been. That's probably a bit of a hindrance for my career, is that I'm not political. I refuse to be political.
Let me just stop you right there. When you say political, yeah, you're talking in the world of pro wrestling, like politics, yes, in the back, not like politics, yes, in the world, right? Okay, good. Yeah, keep going.
Politics in the world, I'm going to avoid those completely. politics and wrestling, I avoid as much as possible. I mean, there's politics and everything, but I'm just going to avoid it. And the truth is, you know, a bunch of guys that have left there have talked about this, and we don't need to go on and on about it. But the system's broken. It's hard to get a word in. You know, even when you're doing nothing, it feels like you're just trying to fix people's mistakes all day. There's no creativity. They want everyone to do things the same and be the same and bump the same and sell the same. And there's millions of rules, which I'm sure you guys have all heard and talked about on the show at length, and people talk about on the internet, and the secret rules, and those change daily. And it's just really hard to understand what's going on and why it's going on. The system is flawed. And I would say that to anyone there. I would say it to Vince himself. I mean, like, I'm definitely not the first person that he's made a mistake on. And I won't be the last person that he's made a mistake on. It's I don't think it's anything personal. Anytime me and him were in a room together or we spoke, he was always respectful. We had two pretty decently long conversations and I thought they went well and he understood where I was coming from. But I'm a man and I'm not going to stand in a hallway for 4 hours to talk to him. I'm just not going to do that. And that could be wrong on my part. That could be stubborn on my part, but I'm a 40-year-old man and I'm not going to wait in the hallway like a child to maybe get 5 minutes to talk to him. I said my piece to him. He seemed to be responsive to it and nothing ever come from it. So I don't take it personally. He made a mistake. And as a leader of the company and the person that decides everything, it's a massive mistake to pass on somebody with me. You have a 3-hour television show and you can't find 5 minutes for Eric Young. Your show is broken. It's as simple as that. I've proven that I can do whatever, any role. I'm not saying I can do it. I've already done it and I've proven I can do it and do it very well. So for me, it's a huge miss, a huge mistake. And now it's someone else's gain. And personally, it's my gain. My soul hasn't felt this good in a long time. That's just the truth.
You know, Eric, I mean, this isn't because we're friends. This is because I speak the truth with you all the time. I watched you in Impact before. I mean, Bully was with you before I even knew you. And yeah. I was like, look at these bumps that this guy has taken. You also have been given crappy creative, and this was in TNA, and turned it into something. And then I was there with you with the emergence of Eric Young, the singles wrestler, the guy who was crazy, the guy who, and it was a moment where, I mean, literally fans were like shocked and crying when you won the title. And then when you lost the title and then you turned heel, you know how to get people's emotions, which is always what we do when we wrestle. As well as, oh, by the way, you had one of the most successful fishing shows and you made a show about fishing enjoyable. And, you know, you talk about hockey, you do stuff, you write for the NHL, you would do all different stuff outside of the box to show your creativity. And I was so happy to see you come back. And I said this off the air with Bully Ray, you had a match, you're thrust into the main event of a pay-per-view. You haven't taken a bump in 5 months. And it was like you never stopped wrestling all the time. And that's a credit to you as a performer, as someone, my peer, of just someone who just goes and gives his all no matter what he is given. And when you say, if someone can't give you creative, yes, that system is a broken system. But the cool part is you also understand that this is not personal. No. You've done nothing but be honest with Triple H when, hey, Impact Wrestling is reaching out to me. So that's the business. And at least you understand the business aspect of it, which is because I hate when people who will be listening to this are like, oh, he's bitter. He's that. No. You did all that stuff in NXT. How many matches did you actually have on the main roster of Raw or SmackDown?
No, 5.
And how long were you there?
2 years.
Think of that.
Yeah.
Let that resonate.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And Eric, you talked about how this move back to Impact Wrestling is good for your soul. And yeah. I know what you're feeling. I want you to elaborate more so our listeners can feel what you're feeling. And do you think, like what Tommy just said, you wrestled 5 times in 2 years. Did that time in the WWE harden you? And did it make you not love wrestling as much as we know that you love wrestling?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's, you hear about it, you hear about it happening to guys and you think, oh, it won't happen to me. I like it too much. It's too big of a part of my life. I have tons of interests. I always have, but wrestling is my first love. You mean like there was a point in my life where nothing mattered except for pro wrestling. When I was trying to become a wrestler and learn and travel and expand my career, I lived it, slept it, breathed it, bled, tears, all of it was about wrestling. So yeah, I loved it. And I can say like, I didn't watch any wrestling when I was on the main roster. I didn't watch it. I would work on Raw and I wouldn't even watch the show. Like it's hard when something like that is crushed. You mean like the love of it is crushed, because like I said, the system there is broken. It's broken. There's so many talented people, you know, in front of the camera, behind the camera, like that's, it could be the Shangri-La. You know what I mean? Like it is a place that everything amazing should be happening every second of every day. And it's not, it's a disaster how it's organized.
Hi, man. Well, if you need anything, I'm here for you, bro. I'm sorry about that.
You never know who to answer to. You know what I mean? It all goes through one person and he's all over the map and his decisions. And, you know, it's hard to love wrestling in that kind of an environment. And I can say I laughed when I was furloughed there. I started watching wrestling again and I knew I was going to wrestle again. I didn't know where it was going to be or who it was going to be for, but I'm back to loving wrestling again. And that is super cool, man. It's a gift. It's an absolute gift for me in my life right now. And it's like I said earlier, like it's hard for me to explain, but my soul hasn't felt this good in years.
And Bully, me and EY, it was about 3 weeks ago. And yeah, I was really, really like, hey man, you should come back to Impact. And I know there's a big financial decision here and I understand. And if you don't want to come back, cool. But it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, hey, what wrestling were you talking about from a tweet about wrestling on Amazon Prime? And him and I are literally watching the worst wrestling together, like on our cell phones. He's watching at the same time and we're making comments, texting back and forth. If you looked at this picture, we're two grown-ass men, but we're acting like teenagers, being like, this is horrible, or God, Terry Funk is still great, even in this, like he was great in the 70s and it still holds up. But like that funness about wrestling is what you're saying was missing in your life. But That's why I go back and I watch stuff that made me a fan. And I know your routine because I basically live at your house a lot of times. Yeah. And like you wake up in the morning, you make yourself coffee, pancakes, and then you watch like an hour of pro wrestling now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the new routine. It hasn't been that way for a long time. So it's back. It's back. And I'm back. Like, I feel like I didn't exist for 2 years after being on TV for, you know, every week for 14 or 15 years and working so hard to build your career. And like, we're all independent contractors, you know, we're all our own business. And then, you know, having a person, you know, basically take a dump on all of your hard work and discard it like it's nothing. It's hard to deal with, man. It's a huge blow to the psyche, huge blow to the ego. But I mean, I never thought, oh, this is my fault. Like the system is just broken. It's flawed. And it's the whole thing. All the flaws are created by one person and that's not going to change, unfortunately. So unfortunately for a lot of people there and a lot of creative people and a lot of really talented people, they're never really going to be able to fully do what they can do because of the way the system is organized. And it's sad. It's mostly just sad. It's super frustrating when you're in it. But now I can say I can smile because I don't have to deal with that anymore.
Well, great. Let's
deal with me.
Yeah. Now you got to deal with Dreamer at catering and we all know how difficult that can be. So you're in a good place now, Eric. Obviously you said you're happy. This is good for your soul. And it's so great to hear that. Okay. So moving forward, you return to Impact Wrestling, big reveal at Slammiversary. It on social media, the Impact Wrestling fan base was so excited to see you come back. What are your goals? You said you're 40 years old. You're back in Impact Wrestling. They definitely were able to hit the reset button at Slammiversary. What are your goals moving forward? What do you need to accomplish for yourself? And what do you still need to accomplish in pro wrestling?
So, I mean, for me, personal wise, is like, I've already done more in wrestling than I ever imagined that I would. I mean, and that's, you know, oh, shucks and, you know, whatever it is, you know, it is just the truth. Like personal goals, like I've done everything that I set out to do. My list was to sign a contract and be in the WWE. Did both of those things. I've wrestled all over the world. I've been world champion, you know, global champion, TV champion, X Division champion, several time tag champion, NXT tag champion. I've done more than I ever thought I would. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to try to better myself, because that's the best part of pro wrestling, is you can always adapt and change and become something else and become better. And that's what I'm looking to do. But most of all is, you know, being a part of Impact and helping to grow something like that. I mean, you guys dealt with it in ECW, being part of that groundswell, you know, that, you know, you're this local regional kind of backwoods promotion that's airing locally in New York and in Philadelphia. And it grows and it gets this crazy buzz. Then it gets on national television and then you're doing pay-per-views. Like, I know what that feels like, because a little bit that was TNA, you know what I mean, when I was there. And in Impact right now is on an even higher trajectory, I believe. Access TV is an unbelievable television partnership for them. The Pluto TV thing, a lot of, you know, regular wrestling fans don't understand. That's a huge get for them internationally. It's a massive international platform allowing them. And just because of technology now, like, I know that I don't know, I'm 40. I don't know anything about Twitch or any of that stuff, but I know that the Twitch stream was, the numbers were way up. And, you know, because of digital media now, like, you can reach people that you couldn't reach before. And Impact is doing an unbelievable job at growing their brand. With their brand growing, my brand grows. So that's the goal, is to grow Impact Wrestling and in turn grow my own brand. You know, I gotta get back to where I was. You mean, like, I was living in a cabin in the woods, it feels like, for, you know, almost 3 years. And it's time to get down to business and show everybody what I'm about.
You know, social media plays such a big part in the world today and in professional wrestling. It's that instant feedback, you know, from fans, especially right now in the COVID era. There's no fans in the house, so the only feedback we get is from fans on social media. I would assume that for the 2 years that you did absolutely nothing in WWE, the amount of social media interaction you had from fans was minimal. How was it the other night after Slammiversary? Was it cool for you, or did it feel good to see all of that social media interaction and to see how happy the Impact fan base was to see you back home, so to speak?
Yeah, super rewarding, you know, to have that. And like you said, like, the instant feedback. And I use social media as much as possible. Like I said, I'm not a massive fan of it, if I'm being completely honest. It is a massive tool for us, a free tool and a tool that can be used to build your own brand and bring attention to what you're doing. So it's definitely a necessary part. But admittedly, I jumped on my phone pretty quickly after the match just to see what people were saying. And, you know, like, there's always going to be detractors and people that aren't excited. But I feel like for the most part, it was all positive, you know, and that's a good feeling too, you know, kind of, you know, the dart throw back on the map and you land in a spot and you're nervous. I mean, like, I was nervous, like you guys said, like, I hadn't wrestled in almost, you know, I guess 4 months. But I mean, if we're being honest, I really hadn't wrestled in almost 2 years. I haven't done anything that was important or anyone cared about, or even I cared about. So it was important for me to make an impression again and to kind of like hang my cap back on the rack, saying, like, you know, I'm back and I'm ready to get going again. And I feel like I did that. And like, there's so much cool stuff planned and coming. The TVs over the next few weeks are pretty special. And Impact is doing an unbelievable job of capturing the momentum that we have and riding that lightning. And that's in pro wrestling. There's nothing more important than that.
Eric, when we talk about, you know, numbers and all that stuff, I was actually I don't get Access Television where I live, but I do get Twitch, and it's a smaller community, but how you watch television. And it was, when you talk about a groundswell, people are like, oh my God, we're at 4,000 people in this chat room. And then it's like, it was at like a right around 7,000, which is really, really big numbers of people watching. When Eddie was out there talking, it was, and you could see the numbers. It stayed around 7,000. When you walked out, dude, everyone was like, EY, Eric Young. And it literally popped, and it was the highest. It went to like 8,600 people. So, I mean, in the in a small community, at one point, 1,600 people raised, and they're talking about you and the fact that your name was trending worldwide. And even like, you know, man, I take great pride because, I mean, you know also what I do behind the scenes, that Slammiversary and even Impact on Access. In a world of really negative all over social media, people are talking for 2 hours about a television, a wrestling show, which is, it's our jobs to make people happy, entertain. And the fact that people are talking about that for just 2 hours in an imprint in the world, I think that's friggin' awesome.
Yeah, especially during the times now, anything positive is good, man. So it's cool to be part of that.
And you were a big part of it. So I'm happy you're in a good place because of that's because we're friends. But I mean, I'm happy the world gets to see your talent shine. And also for people who want to know stuff behind the scenes, there's a point where Eric's doing something with Rich Swann on the top rope and everyone in the back was like, oh my God, there's no way he's going to be able to pull this off. And people don't know how deceptively strong EY is. And he gave it this, and I just saw him like gut wrench Rich Swann into like a Frankensteiner or something like that. But when that was going, it wasn't going south because we've got two pros, but there was people in the back like, what the hell? No, they're going to slip. And I just saw you go into your crazy beast mode. And it was fantastic because I was like, that's because he's a perfectionist and he really cares.
It's old man strength. I can open any jar.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Impact Wrestling superstar Eric Young, who returned this past Saturday at Slammiversary. EY, I know because I've seen with my own eyes that you can do anything in the ring. Just like you said before, like how does the WWE miss a guy who can make you laugh, who can make you cry, who can make you boo, who can make you cheer as you've done? I've seen you be the funniest guy on the show. I've seen you be the most serious guy on the show and everything in between. With your return to Impact now, which version of Eric Young is the right fit for you right now? I know we saw serious Eric Young this past Saturday. Is that the road that you want to go down, the more serious Eric, or are we going to see the comedic side of Eric Young anytime soon?
Yeah, I think right now with where I fit in the company, the serious role is the most effective for me. Professionally, it's going to be the most rewarding. And for me, I feel what I can contribute in that role is best for the company. There's a lot of really talented young guys there. But I do feel, and me and Scott have talked about this, and me and Tommy have talked about this, is the screws need to be tightened up a little bit. You know what I mean? And that's a role that I relish. You know what I mean? Like I'm not going to ever tell anyone what to do. But I think I have loads of experience. I think I know enough to be able to suggest and tell people like maybe try this or change this or don't do that. Or what do you think about this? And that's an exciting thing too. And I definitely wasn't that in the WWE, obviously. I did do 16 weeks of producing. That was an interesting side adventure while I was there. But
that's a thankless job, huh?
One of the most thankless jobs on earth. I don't know why anyone would want to do it there. I think it can be a rewarding job, but not there. You're just, like I said, you're just sorting through, one crazy man's ideas. You mean like that's, you know, that's what you're doing is you're fixing, the crap that gets put in front of you every day. And that doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. I did it for 16 weeks and I think I did it well. And I, you know, they said, you know, whenever you're ready, you know, and want to do this full time, there's a job waiting for you. And I was like, okay, cool. Thanks. And off I went to main event to wrestle, Titus O'Neil again.
but the job that was waiting for you wasn't the traditional agent or producer's job. It's more of a, would you say it's more of a yes man job than a creative job? Like it used to be 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah, you're a relay. You mean like you're not doing anything. All you're doing is taking what is said in the meeting and then relaying that to the talent. And then if they want to change something, then you got to go ask. And he says no, and then you go back to them, and then they just do what was written anyways. So it's thankless. It's not very fun. And it should be, you know what I mean? Like something like that, like the being creative like that all day. And there were moments that were cool. And, you know, I helped work on a couple of things that were pretty fun. And, but it's just a thankless that and wrestling writing. It's difficult. The small team at Impact, like those guys, they're machines, you know, Scott and Tommy and Don and Jimmy and just everybody. It's crazy how much wrestling they talk in 3 or 4 days and how they don't, you know, most of them don't ever see worn out or standoffish or anything like that. So it is a thankless, rotten job. You guys both have done it and you know, so I'm not telling you anything you don't know for sure, but yeah, wasn't a lot of fun. But I think for me, the role at Impact, the world-class maniac who you saw on the pay-per-view and who you'll see in the next coming weeks at TV, that's, to me, that's how I'm going to be most effective. It's going to be a wild ride, man. There's a bunch of really cool stuff coming.
Tommy, anything final from you?
No, I'm just happy to see my friend and his talent shine. And yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff coming up with Eric. And the fact that he understands this business and he's a veteran and will help lead Impact to continue to be the brand that it wants to be. And I'm just happy to hang out with my friend more so than we normally just text stupid stuff.
I completely agree. EY, I've spoke about you many times on this show, and I would always talk about you and Bobby Roode and how disappointed I was in the way they used you guys. And obviously they used Bobby a lot more than they used you. I'm really happy. I'm really excited for you. I'm glad you're happy. I'm glad you're in a good place. I think fans are super excited to see you back in Impact Wrestling. I think you're going to bring a lot to the table. I think you're going to do what you do best and get over. And I think along the way, anybody that's in the ring with you is going to be getting over also. So thank you very much for choosing Busted Open to be your first interview post WWE. And now that you're back with Impact Wrestling, really appreciate you, brother. Love you. Hope everything goes great for you, man.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Thanks for the whole Busted Open staff. You guys have always been in my corner and it doesn't go unnoticed. I appreciate everybody. Thanks, guys.
And now SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio's resident golf historian, Dave Marr, with a PGA Championship memory.
2019 PGA Championship was historic. With its new date in May, defending champion Brooks Koepka claimed his first springtime major to become the only player in history to hold two successful title defenses at the same time, a pair of U.S. Opens and a pair of PGAs.
PGA Championship Week is on Sirius 208 XM 92 and on your Sirius XM app.
Jack Rip chiseled like 285 of this sheer man muscle. The machine, Brian Cage. Brian, how you doing this morning, brother?
Doing real good. You know, just over here frying some eggs, cooking some oatmeal, body guy stuff, you know?
Absolutely. I just had the same stuff.
Of course you did, Tommy. I figured you would.
Well, body guy stuff. Is that a shot at Tommy? Is that a shot at me? Or is that a shot at the both of us?
No. That's just me on the shoot. Just what I was doing.
Yes, for a shoot, we know that you have a much better body than the both of us. Brian, thanks for joining us this morning. You've been a topic of conversation here on the show. You've been a topic of conversation out there on social media since for a while now. 2 months ago, you made the scene at AEW. So right off the bat, how do you feel things are going in AEW for you right now? Are you happy with the performance? Are you happy the way things are going? Tell us some stuff.
Yeah, overall, I'm very, very happy. I had no idea that I was going to be in the ladder match for like a week out before I returned from injury. And even then, like, I didn't know anything about it. And I was like, am I really going to win this? Like, I'm debuting. I probably should win this. But I had no idea until I found out that I was. Like, oh, crap, I'm just getting pushed like that right out the gate. It's been great. I think the Taz train's been real cool. I've really enjoyed it. Because I'm not naive to the fact that, yeah, a lot of people knew who I was coming into AEW, but being on AEW, I realized there's a lot of people who had no idea who I was at the same time. So I feel like with Taz being there to hype me up, because people have asked me about that, I've kind of said, you know, of course you're going to put yourself over, right? If somebody asks you something about how good you are at something, you're going to put yourself over. But if somebody that people already know or respect or trust puts you over, that like instantly gives you a little bit of added credibility. So I feel like that's kind of helped. And, you know, the match I've had with Moxley is really the first match, the first real match I've had. And there's still, you know, plenty I haven't really got to done, haven't got to do. So I feel like it's been a nice little slow burn. And with me coming out and taking on Darby last night and Starks joining with us, and there's some cool stuff we have coming up. So,
Brian, how long was it before you actually had a match, before you wrestled Moxley? It was a while, right?
Yeah, my last like full-on one-on-one match was New Year's Day.
Wow. Well, and wrestling in front of no fans, we ask everybody, like, you AEW's done a great job of bringing in talent to act as the fans, but how different it is from you, because you're one of those guys too. Like, I mean, an amazing athlete. I've been a part of so many of your matches, but the difference between no fans and fans for you as a performer, especially on that top level of you versus Moxley.
I mean, quite frankly, it sucks, right? I mean, everybody hates it, but the way AEW has done it, it has been nice. Cause even then, like, I was stoked and excited to go back, you know, and to make my debut at AEW as well. But at the same time, you're like, you know, there's like a little bit of a letdown. But walking through the curtain, I was surprised that there was more of a adrenaline, you know, rush than I thought. I kind of thought it'd be like going out, you know, like you're walking out of your bathroom in your house. There'd just be like nothing there to kind of flip the switch. But there's way more of a adrenaline rush than I thought. And having the people out there is so much better than not having anyone, for sure. It's just a little bit, but that little bit goes a long way. So, I know Vicky Guerrero was in the crowd too on Double or Nothing. And I mean, she's popping huge, especially after the fact, because she knew I was there, but I guess she didn't know I was wrestling or I was like part of AEW. She thought I was just there. So she actually had a shoot real surprise reaction. So I was like, oh, awesome. At least I got surprised one person in the crowd. But no, it's, you know, it is what it is, but, the way they do it definitely helps a lot. But I mean, obviously if we had, you know, the crowd that we should all have and are used to having, then yeah, that makes everything, you know, that we do and I do essentially, since we're talking about me, you know, much easier to have and to push you to that next level. Cause without it, it's like, oh, like, you know, I want to do this crazy thing that I shouldn't be able to do that I really want to do and showcase. But it's like, man, like, you know, if I do it or crash and burn, like, you know, or even like when I got injured when I won the world title, if that was in front of no fans, I probably wouldn't have been able to push through that. Like, oh yeah, I'll keep going on and try to make the match work. But yeah, that's it. There's no fans. Let's wrap it up. Like, it's done.
Right.
Brian, AEW fans and wrestling fans around the world saw your match against Jon Moxley. You went in there, you guys were kicking the crap out of each other. You find yourself in an armbar submission at the end of the match. Taz throws in the towel. A lot of people were questioning the decision. I know you took to social media to talk about it. I know Taz took to social media to talk about it. You even said on your social media that your relationship with Taz right now, and I'm paraphrasing right now, is a little rocky. You weren't quite sure if you wanted to relieve him of his managerial duties. And it seems like you guys got a big announcement on AEW Dynamite tonight. Can you give us a hint? How are you feeling right now about Taz? How's the relationship? Did you agree with him throwing in the towel? Do you want to punch him in the face for throwing in the towel? What are your thoughts and feelings?
Yes, definitely. I did want to punch him in the face at first. Right? It's an emotional reaction. You know, I'm not going to be happy with it. I wasn't happy with how it played out and the finish of it. I'm not going to be stoked. But we've talked and I understand the longevity of it all. But you know, it was the heat of the moment. Obviously I was really pissed off. You know, he's explained himself and I guess not to say it is what it is again, but I'm going to say it again. I'm not happy about it, but that's what it was. And we've talked, I know we'll talk tonight. And I was on Dark last night and, got involved with Darby after his match. And I know he's been checking out Ricky Starks on AEW Dark. And we met up for the first time essentially last night. So Is everything cool? Nothing's cool, but I mean, I'm understanding why he did it, obviously. And if everything works out in the long run, well, then no harm, no foul.
Bri, you and I are friends. You and I, we want to read the positives, but we unfortunately also read the negatives. There's been a lot of backlash for the FTW title, where people are like, oh, they're rehashing ECW. A lot of negative, where I said, man, it's getting people talking about the product and what is ahead. And Taz endorsing you for that. I know what that title meant to Taz. Bully knows what it meant to Taz. So we have you on the air. What, with that title, what did it mean? What does it mean to you?
Oh, it was awesome. That was, you know, like a super last minute thing. You know, obviously with Moxie not being able to compete, you know, with his wife having a COVID issue, and we were kind of left like, okay, what do we do now? And that was a last minute thing. And, you know, I thought it was rad. I thought it was awesome. And you talked about being a lot of negative backlash. I actually thought, at least for attached to me and my social media, there was a lot of positive. Like, actually, just him giving me the FTW title, I felt like instantly had everyone going, there's no way Cage is beating Mox, to like, well, maybe Cage is beating Mox. So I thought that, like, again, maybe that's just because of exactly how much it meant, that the fact that he gave it to me was just further endorsement and you know, and saying like, hey man, this guy's the real deal. But also like that's great. It's awesome. And then I'm still a champion, and I know how much it means to Taz, because anytime we're not going out with it, Taz is extremely, extremely on me as far as having it in the title bag and where I'm putting it, where it's at the whole time. He's like, hey man, you gotta take care of that thing. That means a lot to me. I'm like, all right, man, don't worry. I got it. I'm just going to take it. It'll be as sacred as my food bag. They're both.
Wait a minute. Right,
they're right there together the whole time. So don't worry, Taz. They're taken care of. But no, it's been awesome. And I mean, there's going to be negative stuff with everything. No one's going to be appeased. But from what I've got it from it, it's been overwhelmingly positive. And people think it's been extremely badass that I got the FTW title.
The passion of Major League Soccer is on SiriusXM. The 2020 season is underway with the MLS's Back Tournament. Get a front row seat from the group stage to the final with matches nightly at 8 Eastern.
Morris flicks it in! What a goal! What a pass by Ladero!
Hear all the action and analysis on SiriusXM FC 157 or wherever you are on the SiriusXM app.
Brian, before we went to break, I asked you about your reaction to when Taz handed you the FTW championship. You told Dreamer you were really excited about it. As a fan sitting there watching, I know I felt, and a lot of fans chimed in, that they felt like you were like, oh yeah, this is kind of cool, no big deal. Did Taz just shock you in that moment? Were you just taken by surprise, or is the FTW championship to you something maybe from 20 years ago and not as important as today?
No, I have seen that backlash, like you said, you mentioned about before, and I even talked to Taz about it afterwards, but like, no, he didn't want me to be overly ecstatic, and I knew, like, it wasn't surprising to me that I was getting it, as he was unveiling it to everyone else, and I was like, yeah, I'm a freaking grown-ass man, and the machine at that. I'm like, was I supposed to freak out like an eight-year-old at a birthday? He just got an awesome birthday present. I'm like, and it wasn't like I won the thing, he gave it to me, which is awesome, but it wasn't like some big, you know, this sort of accomplishment for some crazy match. He goes, no, exactly. So like I got it. I was like, okay, awesome. You are giving it to me. Great. Here, a showcase. Like, cool. I'm the new FTW champion. I thought more of the fact that he called me the baddest son of a bitch in wrestling. And then that, what that title is going to establish. But he thought her attitude was fine. He's like, so yeah, I didn't want you to freak out about it. Exactly. As I just stated. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Outside of that, like, of how I should have reacted into appease fans with that. But I mean, I guess teach their own.
You're never going to appease everybody, especially me, because I've always been your harshest critic, because I'm also one of your biggest fans. That FTW title for us, especially for me, it got what it was meant to do. It helped people start buzzing and talking about a product as well as about a person. I referenced into the Edge Randy Orton match where everyone was talking about the greatest wrestling match of all time and everyone was a buzz about it. And that's what this industry is about. And Tony Khan and AEW has done a great job of getting people to talk about the product. And I think Taz did a great job with that title, and hopefully it can continue. And then also hopefully that you guys can sell those and you get a percentage of that cut. I don't know if Taz, right. Taz may take you out as a manager on that one, though. He may check your finances after that.
Well, as I alluded to earlier too, about how, you know, the well it was received on my end, on my social media, I feel like it made it matter even more. I didn't think it would get a good reaction that it did. I don't think Tony and Taz really even did either. It would be over. And I didn't know if that was just going to be kind of a, I didn't know where we were going to go with it because, you know, it was like a last minute thing since John couldn't be there. And I think the reaction with it and what they've done with it now, that obviously there's going to be more use and more plans with the FCW title, which is awesome. So I think it took us all by surprise a little bit as far as the overall reaction. And again, that was a last minute audible just because of what we had to do. So,
Brian, talking with Brian Cage, the Machine, who will be on AEW Dynamite tonight, along with his manager Taz, for a big, big announcement. Don't forget to tune in on TNT. One of my concerns when I first saw Archer with Jake Roberts is Jake Roberts is such a great talker and he commands the spotlight so much that we might be focusing on Jake a little too much and not enough on Archer. One of my concerns was with Taz and you was Taz is such a powerful personality and commands the spotlight so much that the spotlight might be taking off of you a little bit. We've spoke to JR about this. He questioned some of the positioning in the ring where Taz was in the front and you were in the back, where it's kind of like Taz was the star and you are the co-star. How do you feel about the positioning in the ring? And do you think that you could do more to take that spotlight and put it on yourself?
So like, I remember this has been brought up to before, even before JR, and I just see his comments about the positioning. And I see what people are saying. I guess we could do it more side to side, but I feel like because of Taz's promo and how powerful it is. And mind you as well, I've said this a few times, like when I first found Taz was going to be with me and we're doing all this, the first thing you want to think of is Taz's promo. Even though he's great, you think of, you know, the suplex machine, drop people to head, Taz's mission. And it wasn't until like I was standing there right next, and I've always thought his commentary was amazing. It wasn't until I was standing right next to him when he's cutting the promo live, I was like, holy, man, Taz is freaking killing this promo. So going back up, I feel like in the way he's talking to it, he's talking to the camera, and he's talking to Mox, I don't mind him there. I mean, I'm still seeing, and I feel like if I'm in front of him, especially exactly swap spots, if I'm totally in front of him, you can barely even see Taz, especially because I'm going to, you know, be even bigger in front of him, in front of the camera, you probably won't see Taz. And he's just talking. I almost feel like that would look like, I don't know, if I'm not saying anything, I'm just sitting there flexing or just, you know, reacting to what he's saying. To me, anyways, that's just my opinion. I feel like it wouldn't have the same vibe. I'm fine with him being in front, talking to the camera. I think it looks better because he's relaying the message. And I know about him like kind of trying to steal the thunder. I don't feel like he is, and he's always still kind of going back to putting me over. But I would like to start talking myself more and doing more of that rather than just having him be my hype guy 24/7.
Well, the best part about it is you've addressed every single rumor. And oh, by the way, there's always two sides to every story. And the fact that you're okay with it is cool. And I do feel you will get that opportunity to talk. And if your announcement is to fire Taz tonight, cool. I think you have a secret weapon and I've seen it become mean as can be. You have the next Miss Elizabeth that you wake up to, your lovely wife. I've seen her yell at you. I've seen her translate. She's the real manager. So when you fire Taz and you bring her on board, that's where the bigger money lies. Because trust me, she's fired up.
Yeah, that's a lot more heat for everybody else, too. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you think Taz commands the freaking spotlight. Holy crap. But yes, that is my back pocket. And, you know, her middle name is Elizabeth, so.
Oh, yeah. You could become the next Savage, man, because you got that ability. Woo! I love it. Good booking.
Brian, who's your number one focus on right now? Is it Darby Allin, or is it trying to get another shot at John Moxley for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship?
That's a little blurred because, like, obviously, I'm pissed off at Darby, but the main target is Moxley. So, like, Darby might be the appetizer, but I'm still going, you know, I'm going to have that entree right afterwards. So,
what about Cody?
What about Cody? His TNT title? The FTW title is cooler than that, and I want the world title. So, Cody's not even in the mindset right now.
Nice. He's got to challenge you. I like it.
Do you ever see yourself in there with Cody? Maybe FTW championship against the TNT television championship?
I mean, sure, that's possible. It's just not my focus or my sights right now. But I mean, absolutely. I mean, once I'm done with Moxley and the world title, and I mean, I'm always open to something else. And obviously, Cody's been killing it, and he's one of the top guys and competitors there. So I would love to get in the ring and defeat him as well. But just I'm not going to think too far ahead. But yes, I'm sure that would be a killer match whenever it does happen.
Right. How do you feel? I mean, because I know you, man, and I've been blessed to be alongside you. I've been agenting you. I've been, you know, we've worked together. I feel you're one of the most athletic men I've ever seen, and some of the stuff. And then some people are like, oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, which I hate, because if something is done right, it's done correctly. How do you feel about people who state that you're too big to do something?
I don't know if that's like more of just like an, you know, old school traditional mindset, if it's just because like, oh, you know, you don't need to do that, so why should you do that? It was the first time I was on Busted Open. Bubba actually even mentioned that too, that there's a lot of people that said that prior to me, and then me going out there and still doing stuff that I, quote, shouldn't be able to do, or shouldn't be doing, is kind of what got me over to begin with. Because I walk out the curtain and I stand out with how I look, and I separate myself from the rest of the locker room. But then the fact that I wrestle how I shouldn't be able to wrestle on top of how I look is, I feel like, what's gotten me to the next level. And like continuing to do, like, so say if I just went there and just did, you know, shoulder tackle power slam this whole time, I don't think my career would be where it's at.
Brian, do you feel like you're connecting with the AEW fan base right now?
That's actually a good question. Yes and no. Yes and no. And I think that's because I haven't, I mean, it's been great with Taz, everything we're doing, but I've done some cool squashes. I just had that one match with Mox, which I know a lot of people probably aren't very happy with the ending with it, but there's still a whole lot to me that like you haven't seen or got. And truth be told too, I would love for us to kind of turn around and be a little more fan favorites than heels too, because I've always been more of a fan of that than being the quote unquote bad guy.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.